Ready or not, here it comes. The Internet of Things, that is. It's a simple idea. When all sorts of objects have IP addresses and access to wireless networks, you can measure almost anything. As a practical matter, the Internet of Things creates very big data sets that are hard to handle from a network management and analytics perspective. But we're going to get some advice now from Anthony Robbins. He's Vice President of Federal for Brocade. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to our studios.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Emily, for having us.
So first of all, describe the Internet of Things as it pertains to the federal government. Why does the government care about this?
Well, the government, like any consumer of information technology who has to serve customers, cares a lot. So in the case of the GSA, for example, they're using sensors in buildings to control energy consumption and use. You can think about from a NOAA perspective or FEMA responding to weather and the crisis, emergency responders, and, you know, on and on and on. So the use of or the concept of the Internet of Things will serve the government just like it'll serve the consumer marketplace.
So what effect does that have on the ability to ingest all that information if you have a network that might have been installed a little while ago?
And there lies the challenge or the opportunity. You know, I had mentioned that if you take Washington, D.C., and you more than double the population of this city overnight, and you give them the same road system that's there, you'll have massive congestion and challenges. And that's what we believe is either the challenge or the opportunity relative to the U.S. federal government's network infrastructure. So as the Internet of Things gets further enabled, mostly around IPv6, enabling, you know, broader addressing, and as you get more devices coming online, more sensors out in the world that serves the business of the government, you'll find massive amounts of data. So to manage through that data, we have to get network modernization to enable the use of and the sharing of that data.
Well, can we just back up a little bit? Because I'm wondering, I mean, the Internet of Things, it's a cool sounding thing. I know Google has some apps for the home. You know, you can cook basically from a computer nowadays. But when you're a federal manager, when do you think that you should jump onto the bandwagon? How and with what?
It's a good question, and I think people have to start moving now. The Internet of Things as a concept or an idea was talked about in the 1980s. It was officially coined in the late 1990s. And so with what's happening in the world that we live in, mobility, social, network performance at the edge, and the massive amounts of data, the world is moving fast towards this Internet of Things. And what we always encourage the government to do is to make sure that they stay on top of commercial trends, because that's where we in commercial companies are spending our R&D dollars. And so if the government doesn't stay up with these things, the cost of their infrastructure today gets a lot more expensive. So the government needs to be prototyping capability around the use of the Internet of Things. And in fact, that they are. You know, the government spent, you know, it reported $300 million through some research and some projects around Smart America. So there's some money that's being spent in that space. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, GSA is doing some work around sensors and buildings, and many other organizations are as well.
And when you mention network modernization, that brings up a lot of tough issues. One, agencies don't have a lot of money to invest in capital equipment and bigger switches, routers, and all that kind of stuff. Nor do they really particularly want to invest in more bandwidth, because that's expensive and it's an expense that never goes away. It's always there. Once you put in a line, it's there forever and costing you. So what can they do to have some kind of cost effectiveness in getting ready for this Internet of Things?
Yeah, so two good questions. The first was, what do we do with this massive amount of data that's about to be consumed? One point on the massive amount of data before I come to answer your question, Tom, is, and, you know, most of the world's data that's out there today was created by people. Most of the data tomorrow will be created by machines. And that's this kind of this Internet of Things where, you know, objects and devices put data across the network. So we have to deal with kind of this congestion that's coming our way around the big data problem. The next thing as far as is how we manage this. So we've got to get it to network infrastructure. The network infrastructure that serves the U.S. federal government was conceived about 20 years ago, implemented 15 years ago, and today is full of a network structure or architecture that was in place before all these commercial trends that are driving the industry, like cloud as a service, Internet of Things. So we've got to modernize the network infrastructure of the federal government. A part of that is you have to simplify the network. So Brocade has spent a lot of money and time and invested, you know, important research and development dollars to figure out how you simplify the network infrastructure. The number one cost of the network is people, and the number one item relative to issues on the network is people. So by simplifying the network, you can get at the cost of the network. The other thing is you've got to get proprietary protocols out of the network, and we've got to get the network infrastructure that's going to serve the Internet of Things onto an open standards platform, because the cost savings when you move in that direction are phenomenal. And then the last and perhaps most important thing is we've got to get the network infrastructure ready for software. So just as virtualization had a profound impact on how many servers sat in data centers and supported the enterprise, virtualization is going to have a profound impact on the network, but it's going to be enabled by software-defined networking.
We're speaking with Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal for Brocade. A couple of questions on that. I've actually talked to some CIOs, and they are saying that software-defined networking is a great idea, but it's not really prime time yet. Instead, some of them are looking at, and again, you know, this gets all the vendors have a different point of view. There's a standard for shortest bridge protocol called 802.1AQ, and Brocade, Hewlett-Packard, Cisco, a bunch of the competitors in the same space have gotten behind that as kind of an interim until software-defined networking really becomes prime time. So what are you recommending when there's really no one software-defined network that's kind of universal that people can use?
Fair point. Good. A great question. So software-defined networking will have the same profound effect on the network infrastructure as virtualization did for servers and data centers. It is going to be the same thing. In 2009, we crossed over where there were more virtual servers than physical servers in the U.S. government's data centers. So virtualization will come to the network infrastructure. Now, it'll come when we get proprietary protocols out of the network, we get open standards into the network so that we can allow software to traverse the devices. So when that happens, we'll get the big business benefit. But to your point, it is early, right? So there's, you know, almost all the software or almost all the networking vendors are investing in software to provide this capability, but it is early. So our recommendation to the government is to find ways to get software-defined networking projects started and find some low-hanging fruit so you can get yourself ready for implementation as it matures.
Because one of the dangers I've heard about software-defined networking is as it is sold at this point, often it's application-specific, and it can't handle, no one computer with SDN on it can really do all of the applications you might have. Is that your view, or something that can be applied more widely?
Yeah, so our view is there's a few things that software-defined networking is ready to do today. And our recommendation is that you focus kind of on the few things in proof of concept labs or prototypes in your organization to kind of get yourself ready, because there's major investment being made, you know, a lot of people being hired, dollars being spent. So the software defined, so it'll grow rapidly. So we're encouraging customers to start today.
And as you define it, is it virtualizing the network, or is it automating the provisioning of the network at high speed so that you get some of that labor and time intensity out of the reconfiguring that has to happen on the fly as loads change?
Yeah, and that is precisely that. There's two things that you want to do. You want to be able to virtualize, so we kind of call it network function virtualization. So we want to get to virtualized capability of the network to do on the network, what we did with servers and the data centers. And then ultimately, you want to be able to control network capability and capacity as customers or consumers require. So you have a natural disaster, you have to do something in support of warfighters or support of citizens, or the IRS's network requirements as it comes to, you know, the time the tax returns get put in, or, you know, what, you know, weather incidents where we have to evacuate in certain geographic locations. You know, so you want to be able to control and monitor network capacity to where their needs and requirements are. And software-defined networking is the tool or the capability that's going to allow you – it's almost like computational steering of network capacity to business needs.
You know, as we talk about all the technical things, I'm struck by the idea that perhaps a lot of big data isn't such a good thing anyways, because, you know, a lot of that is just stuff that you're not going to need. You're going to have to weed it out. So what is one thing that, you know, people can get ready to do when they have all this data? You just need something that makes sense to you.
Yeah, so, and that's a big challenge. You know, as I said earlier, that most of the world's data today was created by people. And so if you project forward over the next couple of years and you have the massive amounts of sensors that are, you know, grabbing data and putting it on the network, you as a IT professional or as a government, you know, enterprise, you know, you're looking at the prospects of having more data than you could possibly do anything with. So the aspect of data analytics is a very important thing, and underneath that data analytics engine is this network engine that allows it to move from data centers in the cloud to edge devices and the like. So we've got to work on a lot of things. You know, one is we have to more rapidly address network modernization, and that has to happen at the same time where we're focused on a lot of the data analytics and the big data problem. And so a lot of people are focused on that, but I sometimes fear that the network modernization isn't as much as top of mind. And then the security issue is a big component of that as well.
And that's probably will take us a whole other discussion. Anthony Robbins is Vice President of Federal for Brocade. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.